How many of you are ready for God's Word? Come on, let's give a big shout out for God's Word. Love the Lord, love the God's Word. It's so exciting, so blessed. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Real quick, just stand. I want to read Habakkuk, a portion of Scripture that I just absolutely love. And it's Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'll have it on screen for you in just a moment. But Habakkuk chapter 2, such a powerful Scripture, and it really speaks of itself, and you'll get this. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Lord, I thank you that you have given each and one, every one of us a purpose, a divine destiny, and a vision for your kingdom. And I pray today that, God, you would give us a glimpse and an understanding to help us to embrace it, to maximize it, to see it, to develop it, and to run with it. I pray, Lord, you're doing a new thing, and we're excited for that. We're blessed that you're doing a new thing. It's a new day, a new season in all of our lives. And we pray for just a wonderful anointing that will illuminate this word and this message in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the title of my message, New Heart and New Vision. Amen. You may be seated. New Heart, New Vision. So this morning, I want to kind of give a couple of reviews. Thanks, Frank. I want to give a couple of reviews of what we went through in the last couple of Sundays. And this is our third Sunday, realistically, in our incredible transition, transformation, merging, development. And our New Year's message, you know, that I shared, of course, on the first Sunday of the new year, it was a new year, new heart, new miracles. Our text came from Ezekiel 36, how God will take out the stone, the heart of stone, and turn it into a heart of flesh. We focused on a new, fresh, diligent heart, a new, fresh, clean, pure heart, and a new, fresh heart full of God's love. Amen? And then last Sunday, I shared a message, and we spoke, and we looked on a new year of excellence. We looked at Daniel's life, and it said, and that this Daniel distinguished himself above the governor's satraps because he had an excellent spirit was within him. And we focused on some character traits in Daniel's heart, how to have a more excellent spirit, an excellent spirit in all that we do, all that we say, in our attitude and our life. We talked about an unwavering convictions, unadulterated fellowship, unique relationship with God, ultra testimony of God's glory, an unlimited prosperity in all of our lives and everything we do. And so I really, you know, with what God is doing in all of our lives, God just placed in my heart to really speak about vision. And I it was so incredible this morning, you know, and realistically, if you think about it, for the next year or more, we'll be focusing on what I titled this message, New Year, New Heart, and a new vision, a new fresh vision. Now think about this, because all of us here, every man and woman of God, from Moses, Joshua, Esther, Hannah, to Mary, Peter, Apostle Paul, and Timothy, God imparted a kingdom vision within their hearts. And I don't care how you were born, when you were born, who you were born, where you were born, God has a miracle plan in everybody's life. And you know that a lot of people ignore it. We try to just make it, and, you know, we just try to get the bills paid. Like, one of our missions in life is try to pay the bills, finish work, get home, watch TV, eat, and then the routine of life. And sometimes we neglect that incredible, most important reason why we were saved. Yesterday I had to take an Uber to go pick up my car at the mechanic shop. I was just working on this, you know, all week and touching up, and I was kind of busy. And so the Uber guy came up. I happen to remember, you know, you get the Uber thing and it says he'll be there 5 minutes. What color is the car? That's what I look for. What's his name? I try to remember his name, and I never remember names. And so he pulled up and I said, oh, you're here. And I jumped in and I said, you know where we're going? He goes, yeah. I said, well, let me just ask you this first question. Let's get this over with. Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and accept him and embrace God's miracle purpose in your life? He goes, yes, I would love that. I said, okay, let's do this. So I figured, let me do it in the beginning instead of the end of the trip. He's probably busy. I certainly am. And so I started sharing my testimony with him. I figured, let me grease him. Let me oil his heart, you know, to get him real juicy, what God can do. And he goes, and then as we're head ready, he said, are we going to do this? And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. He's interrupted me. Like, he's ready, you know? And so we pulled over and certainly he was just so ready. He was just so ready for, you know, for God to just do a miracle. I can tell when people sincere or not, you know, and so far. And he's listening to me tentatively. I had one of my books and then I gave him two little Christmas, you know, our stuff, Christmas stockings full of candy. We blessed them, you know. And so here's why I say all of that, because that's really every one of us, our mission, to pass on the gospel. Whether you do it with a Christmas stuffing, Christmas stocking full of candy, amen, or you do it with a whip, I'm only kidding, or you do it with a, well, Jesus did use a whip one time, or you do it with however you do it, because whether you're a doctor, or a shoemaker, or a landscaper, or ECO, whatever it is, that's simply your vehicle for your mission. How many of you know we get caught up in the vehicle? We're more important. We want white walls. We want cool. We're more focused on the vehicle than our mission. Amen. And that's why what God's doing here in this phase, it's so utterly important, you know, to really share, you know, we're not just here to merge, to have church or a place where we can have church and call our church. We're here because we're in the last days. Can I get an amen? Do you believe we're in the last days? We are. I was speaking to the president of Apple Bank in all of New York. And it was very interesting. And I had a sit down with them, you know, through Habitat. And they come out to help build houses, you know, all that stuff. And so we had a great conversation. And I said, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about our society? He said, and I didn't sense that he's like this born again, Pentecostal on fire Christian. I just sensed he was a godly man that had a good old, you know, insight and common sense. He said, we're in our last days. He said this to me. He said, and I'm like, kind of like, wow. He said, you know, 9/11 was local. He said, there's going to be a bigger calamity come down the pike if we don't wake up. That's not going to be local. I know 9/11 touched everywhere. I get it. But it was local. And he just really just fed my heart, you know, and how so many of us believe. So my heart, of course, is to equip you and to prepare you to be used to, I always share this, you know, I'm crazy. I'm like a guru in evangelism that I believe everybody has a scroll. It's like you're born with a scroll. What? And it has so many people names on it, like this guy, you know, all the way down. God has a plan for you to speak to people's lives. And if you don't do it, God will use somebody else. Come on, somebody. Amen. Someone say, I ain't missing out. I'm not missing out on the Uber driver. Amen. And so, you know, it, as we look into this incredible book and chapter of Habakkuk, it's so encouraging, really, to really help us to see and to really challenge us to see our vision. Pastor Pag, on right after we had our Christmas outreach here on the 27th, really shared just such an incredible message to us all. And it was a powerful message to us all. What was he doing? He was preparing us for the vision. Can someone say vision? For the vision God has placed even in their heart, for this wonderful family of believers, for this kingdom of God church. And that's why he encouraged, he's been praying, and what was his message to all of us? He was saying, be flexible, be humble, be prepared, Be ready. God wants to do a new thing. That the essence of his message was be faithful, patient, humble. And as God leads us, and as Pastor Diane, pass on the mantle to myself and Miriam and all of us, because God has a powerful, wonderful, exciting thing for God to do in this house, in our lives. Come on, that's what it's all about. And so, in fact, it was so beautiful that by the way, I remembered Brian's name. I said, Brian, I started here. Anyway, I impressed him. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. I don't remember the pastor who was here, who had a prophetic word. Phil Cabuccio. Is he Italiano by any chance? Phil Cabuccio. So Phil, how divine was that? Now I'll speak about that in a few minutes, but he prophetically shared Isaiah 43. What was he saying? He said, don't consider the things of old. We're hanging on to things of old. Listen, God wants to do something new. And so this morning, God has quickened my heart to share on a new heart, new vision, new year in all of us. And there's no greater time than this. Now let me just say this. There's no, I don't believe, and of course there's many scriptures throughout the Bible, and I use one of the greatest. So I believe Habakkuk chapter 2 is one of the greatest portion or passage of scripture that really defines vision, to really help you to get your vision established and develop. It says, Habakkuk 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Because the vision shall come to pass in a point of time. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will come to pass. It will not lie. Amen? And so before we dig into Habakkuk, let me talk a little bit more about Habakkuk. I want to look into his message and his ministry. Now, Habakkuk lived in the time of a very decrepit people who rejected God and served themselves. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it was a civilization filled with calamity and violence, lawlessness and iniquity. And really, that's where we are today. Habakkuk describes this corruption throughout his book. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, he pens his cry. Listen to what he says in chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. And how relevant is that today? And then in chapter 2, God speaks to Habakkuk and commands him to write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who runs with it may read it, for the vision will come to point on the appointed time. Now, we could see Habakkuk had a vision for future restoration. Now, don't miss this, because Pastor Pag really has shared, and I shared, has a vision as well, and has shared it, and has passed on the vision. And no matter how you, listen, Pastor Pat, my son, you know, I want my son and my daughters, right, Fred and Karen here, there, God bless you, welcome, there are one of our board members and so on. But anyway, how many here, Fred, I came to the Christmas party, met your beautiful sons, they work, how many here, parents, you want your sons and daughters to excel far above and beyond what you have done? Right? Pastor Diane and Pastor Pat, they want that for this church. They, you know, and they brought it to here. And that's what God wants. God wants that to take place in all of our lives. Now, Pastor Pag, I'm going to call Pastor Habakkuk Pastor Hab. Is that all right, Pastor Pag? So Hab had a vision of kingdom dominion. Pastor Hab had a vision of kingdom holiness. Pastor Hab had a vision of kingdom righteousness. Habakkuk had a vision of kingdom peace, a vision of kingdom family serving together, serving the Lord. Habakkuk had a vision of people fulfilling their God-ordained destiny. He had a vision of a nation full of love and a vision of one nation under God, free to worship him in spirit and truth. And that was God's heart speaking through Habakkuk's heart to the children of Israel. And this is God's heart speaking to Destiny Full Gospel Family through Habitat, because this is exactly what God wants in our heart and our church. In the glory of God, he wants to manifest his presence and have an incredible move in our lives. This is for us today. Now, don't miss this. I said about a prophet. Now watch this. The ministry of a prophet is to protect God's kingdom by analyzing the scope of evil and to speak the word of God through admonishment, edification, and intercession. It's to warn, it's to protect, and it's to of course, affirm as well. Prophets are just not people who speak about, the condemning or the sin. They also affirm. But the true message of a prophet is to share the vision that God wants for his people. And Habakkuk's message penetrated the hearts of God's people. And these people were the remnant of the children of Israel. Now don't miss this. There's always a remnant that God secures to carry on the prophetic promises of future covenant. There's always a remnant. There's always a Gideon hiding in the wine vat. You hear me? There's always a remnant. And what does a remnant mean? A real piece of a remnant might mean you take a flag, you rip it off, that's called a remnant. It's a piece of. And that's all God needs. He doesn't need a million churches to gather together, although we need to. God can do something powerful in this church or any church or as long as we're in one accord and we let the Holy Ghost do his thing, amen? And we have a heart's desire for God to do his thing. Now look around you. Just think about this. Listen to this. Destiny Full Gospel Church, we are God's remnant here. Look around you. Just look around you at all these unbelievable warriors for God's kingdom. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you're a warrior. Woo! You are a warrior. Now we all are feeling, hearing, and seeing the evil, demonic corruption and destruction around the world. The Eurocleton that I spoke about. But more so, we are all hearing the prophetic voice from God, which I believe, for an awakening. Amen? Now, if we really want God to move in our lives, in our church, and change the world, listen to this. We have to embrace God's vision. And we have to get out of our comfort zones. And let me tell you what the problem with the church is. And you'll know this. The church is asleep. Amen? David Wilkerson shared a message that it's not only the church, it's the pastors are asleep. Some pastors on this Sunday morning are more, and some of you, are more concerned about the football game. Pastor Jimmy, hurry up, we got a football. How many know in Texas they schedule their churches around the Dallas Cowboys? I'm telling you, amen. Now, I like football, but I like the chicken wings and the food much better, amen? But anyway, I love it when the Jets are in there, but you know, poor Jets, we're praying. How many here are still a Jet fan? And a Knick fan. Come on, Knick. All right, anyway, let me get off. You'll find out. Anyway, you'll find out. I love sports, but we're feeling, we're hearing this. We really are. But we have to embrace God's vision. We have to wake up. The church is asleep. And like I said with the Eurocleton, God's given us a wake-up call. Because when you break through the walls of mediocrity and get yourself out of the comfort zone of self-centered security, God can do something. And you know what takes place? When you get out of that zone, come on somebody, you get in a zone, you get out of the comfort, you jump into the pool of passion, you get fired up, you begin to praise up, you get powered up, hallelujah, with divine vision for the kingdom of God, and God is in heaven going, now we can use that church. Come on somebody, amen? Tell your neighbor, God's using our church. He is. I love coming to this beautiful facility, you know. Love coming. I come up here, you know, when no one's here, and just pray. It's so beautiful. It's so, God has blessed this beautiful. And how old is 75 years old or so? 80. Wow. Think about that. And today's a new day. Amen? This church is older than all of us. Almost. Most of us. Easy. Amen. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Give me a couple of things, but let me give you some simple realities of a vision. Don't miss this. If you do not go after what God has for you, you'll never have it. If you do not ask, the answer will always be no. If you do not step forward, you'll always be in the same place. And if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. Come on, amen? And so let me give you some vision truths. Don't miss this. Vision is never given for a personal agenda. You hear me? Kingdom vision is given for the enhancement of the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. Vision, think of it, is something God imparts in your heart that gives you purpose. Vision, listen, it inspires your life and it rejuvenates you. Amen? Everybody wants this cream for the baggy eyes. And if you use it, that's cool. I get it. It's all good. But can I give you some youth serum? Let God fire you up with purpose and vision for His kingdom. He'll give you the youth. Come on. You'll mount up with wings as eagle. You'll run and not get weary and walk and not faint. Amen? Vision is a mission that you know can only be accomplished by the supernatural divine guidance of God. Vision is given to secure and advance the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Vision is seeing where God wants to take us and stretch us. Can I say it again? Vision is where God wants to take us, seeing where God, and stretch us. Amen? Vision is a mental picture of what God wants us to do for His kingdom. Listen to this. Vision is believing that what we do not presently see will become a reality before us for God's glory. Come on, it's all about God's glory. Jesus said, "He who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled." And that doesn't mean only the presence of God. I've worked with people who have had such a zeal. One particular purpose, read David Wilkerson's book. He worked for me. And I hired him. He said, "Jimmy," he said, I come, but I have a prayer life." And I said, "That's cool." I said, "So do we. We love praying." Because, yeah, mine might be a little unique, kind of like David Wilkerson and also my tennis coach. But I needed his help. So, oh, come on in. He would go out. I'm not kidding. He would go out. Oh, gosh. 4 a.m. into the woods, scream and cry till like 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and he'd come back, and so on. And after a while, he was exhausted, he couldn't work, he compromised, and he ended up with a mental breakdown because he tried to be somebody and do something that God didn't call him to be. How many here? God's called only one of you. Amen. I love David Wilkerson. I was so blessed, and many others. I had the privilege of being mentored. Great men and women of God. A lot of women discipled my life. And great women of God. And I remember that there was times, because I was a young preacher, I would preach like Brother Dave and so forth. But I remember there was a time God convicted me and He said, "You gotta stop riding on the wave of David Wilkerson." He says, "I got your own wave. God wants to do something in your own life. You are not David Wilkerson, Billy Graham. There's one of you, and let me take that one of you and multiply you so I can be used for the glory of God and win people to the Lord and tell Brian yesterday he needs to get saved." Woo, come on, Camille. Amen. Let me share quickly with you just a couple of wonderful bullets. Just some wonderful bullets here it is. Are you ready? All right, so listen. I want to share some things just for the next few minutes in reference to birthing a vision. And it's about passionate truth for vision. Number one, the power of a made-up mind. Vision is birthed out of the power of a made-up mind. Now Habakkuk 2 said this: "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who runs with it may read it.'" We'll talk about it in just a moment. Now, a person who has a vision and passionately bursts that vision into reality is a person, listen to this, who has a vision, a calling, and a person who has surrendered to the vision and has the power of a made-up mind. Do you see how people become great, how people do unbelievable, even gymnastics? Isn't it amazing when you see gymnastics, they do that, what they do that with their bodies, flipping in the air? Well, they're sold out for a cause within themselves. And when you see these, where we are today and how we got here today, it's because of men and women of God had purpose and they had the power of a made-up mind. Think about Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, Rahab, Ruth, Esther, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, all of the heroes of faith, they had the power of a made-up mind. And think about the same with Mary, Joseph, listen, John, James, Peter, Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, woman with the flow of blood, blind Bartimaeus. They had the power of a made-up mind, and God touched their lives. How about Mother Teresa, the Billy Grahams, the David Wilkerson? They all had a vision and for the kingdom of God, and God did mega miracles in their life. And listen, the day of miracles is today. It's not over. Amen? It's today. I believe that. Do you believe that? Amen. Now, they all had that incredible dedication. Now, what was the common denominator? They had a surrendered heart. They had a surrendered heart. We all have to live, eat, sleep, work, but still within their heart, they had a purpose and vision for the kingdom of God. We have this song that we have sang through Teen Challenge over the years. I love that song, and some of you remember? I got my mind made up, my heart is fixed, I'm going with Jesus all the way. I got my mind made up and my heart is fixed and we're going with Jesus all the way. Amen? And there's so many ways you could sing that. And once we get it rolling, man, we can't stop. I just had to just slow it down with you here. But think about it. I got my mind made up, my heart is fixed, and I'm going with Jesus all the way. You know, and I would preach in many different teen challenges all over the place, and the students would love it because they'd come out of this crazy life. And then we would sing it so they would understand it. Got my mind made up, my heart is fixed, going with Jesus all the way. And then I would know who to pick. And then all of a sudden I'd go, you. And they would jump right up. They'd stand right up. I'd throw them the mic. They do it like they're in a concert. I got my mind made up. My heart is fixed. Going with Jesus all the way. And then I go like this. She's got her mind made up and her heart is fixed. And she's going with Jesus. It was awesome. Come on, somebody. Power of a made up mind. How many here know the double-minded man is what? Is what? He is. Help us, Lord. Amen. So listen, now next Sunday, I believe I'll be speaking on courageous vision. Because Joshua's courageous mission and vision, I want to focus on. It was absolutely amazing. And courageous vision thinks about this. Courageous vision. It builds, believes, and it breaks down limitation and boundaries. And a lot of us are sometimes stuck in a box. Am I right? And God's doing something fresh and new. Because when God gives you a vision, you have to sometimes fight for it. Think about that. Well, listen to this. Listen, sometimes you have to fight against your own logic. Because I've had some crazy, crazy, courageous vision stuff in my life. Some of it never came to pass. But I stepped out and believed for it. Amen. I was just exercising my faith. But some of it is real. Because sometimes what happens, don't miss this, is God will give you a vision, and sometimes it's for somebody else. It's literally for somebody else. It's not necessarily for you. That's why, check it out. So I was in London speaking, and afterwards, I don't know if I shared this last Sunday, I can't remember the illustration. Actually, I was in London speaking, and I came out. It was a theater, and we had to come out. And I spoke about, don't drop your vision. God has a miracle plan for your life. And one of the elders came out with a cane. I was just waiting outside I was doing a United Kingdom conference and speaking. Anyway, waiting for John Macy. That's right, the director picked me up. Happened to be by myself. Church was over. I'm not sure if my son David was with me. But anyway, this man came out like this. And he says, Pastor Jim, and he put, like, I'm holding him up. He said, I want to thank you. I said, why? I said, why? He says, because you've spoken to my heart. He said, I was going to go home and take all these pills. I had a plan to end my life. I am in torment. I take 26 pills a day. Can't take it anymore. But God told me to throw those pills out. That he has something fresh and new. And he said, thank you so much. Because, you know, I one time I had a vision. And he said, but it doesn't matter. And I go, no, come here. It does matter. And I said, tell me about the vision. And all of a sudden, life came back into his. And I said, do you know what Habakkuk says? What? So you may think that you're too old or whatever to be able to fulfill what you shared with me. But read Habakkuk 2. What it says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he who runs with it might be able to read it. For the vision will come to pass at an appointed time. What do you mean, Pastor? In other words, write that vision down. Go home and pass it on. And let somebody else run it. You write it. David wrote the vision. Solomon built the temple. Come on, does somebody understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes God just uses you to literally just birth that vision. Amen. To write it down. God's got a miracle plan for your life. Hallelujah. And God is stirring our hearts once again with the power of a made up mind. Let me give you the second passionate truth that will birth God's vision. Number two, the power of teamwork. How many know what I'm talking about? Can't do it alone. Habakkuk 2, write the vision, make it plain, so he runs with it. And there's others that will have to run with you. Can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Does your vision inspire others to be a part of it? That's a question. Does your vision inspire others to run with it? Because a passionate vision, it attracts others. It does. New vision inspires others to be a part of it. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, courage is contagious in your vision. Courage is contagious, says the evangelist. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened, couraged by that leader. Woo! Amen. We're here today because somebody jumped in. It wasn't one person that had the vision here. Amen? It's not one person. And when you have a vision, God will bring the right people. He'll bring the funding. I told Pastor Baggett, he knows this. I always tell me that vision doesn't follow money. Money follows vision. Learned that over the years. I've never raised enough money to say, okay, now I'm going to have to start. Now I could build it. I begin to build and begin to plan and somehow. Now, others may do it differently. That's cool. I get it. But know this, that money always follows vision. Why? Because God's the provider. It's His vision. If the vision is self-centered and selfish ambition, it'll all come to pass. It'll all crumble. Can I say it again? If the vision is self-centered and it's built on selfish ambition, it'll all crumble. Let me give you a couple of test questions to use to divine whether a vision is from God or a personal ambition. Listen to this. Number one, is the vision a supernatural move of God? Not a move of Jimmy. Not a move of you, but a move of God. Amen? Not even a move of this church. Is it a move of God? Number two, does the vision glorify the body of Christ? Will the vision enhance and expand the kingdom of God? Will the vision produce salvation to the lost people? Does the vision glorify God? Amen? Not man. And you know, there's been many, many visions that have been birthed out of flesh. Wood, hay, and stumble. The vision can only be accomplished with an anointed team, not an annoying team. I wrote that by mistake. You know, types when annoying. I'm an anointed. No, annoying. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Got to be careful of that stuff. You right? What's it called? AI. Anyway, listen. The vision can only be accomplished by an anointed team, not an annoying team. The annoying team are full of self-seeking, selective servanthood, people who are on the team for self-elevation. Amen? You know the deal. You've been here for a while. You know. Amen? Hallelujah. The anointed team are full of servant leaders who are motivated by a genuine, passionate love for Jesus and for the hurting people of the world. Let me say it again. The anointed team are full of servant leaders, not leaders who serve, but servant leaders who are motivated by a genuine, passionate love for Jesus and for the hurting people of the world. Listen to this. The anointed team are full of servant leaders who minister with a humble, selfless, sacrificial, serving heart. That's the type of person God loves to use. But they also have this, a teachable spirit. They're eager to learn how to serve in a more united, loyal, loving way. So let me bring those two together. The anointed team are full of servant leaders who minister with a humble, selfless, sacrificial, serving heart and a teachable spirit, eager to learn how to serve in a more united, loving, loyal, loving way. Now I've learned that if you have a vision for God's kingdom, God will raise up the Joshuas, the Calebs, the Aaron and the Herbs, and yes, the Rahabs and the Peters. And what do I mean by that? God will give you some crazy people along your side. Right? Have you served with some crazy people? I mean, some crazy people. I can tell you some crazy. I always tell back in the day, we write testimonies of Teen Challenge. You got to hear the tragedies of Teen Challenge. They're crazy. We don't tell you how my car was stolen, our houses are broken into, our loving students, you know. Anyway, we have some crazy people, but I like to work with crazy. Because if you ain't a little crazy, you're not going to be able to hang with the crazy pastor. Amen? In fact, my name before I got saved was Crazy Jim. Some things never change. Amen? But let me just share this with you, because the definition of a power team or definition of the power of teamwork is found in Acts 4:32. Now, the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that they had did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Watch this. Verse 33. And with great grace and power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection, and grace was upon them. That's a God team. That's a dream team. Amen? And God is calling the Joshuas, the Calebs, the Esthers, and the Ruths, the Pauls, the Barnabas, the Martha, and the Marys. Because listen, one can chase 1,000, but two can do what? Can I say it again? One can chase 1,000, but two can do what? Chase 10,000. Amen. And that's the power of teamwork. Hallelujah. God is good. I guess it was last year, we did an outreach, and this gentleman came up, a businessman, and he said, "This is an amazing, amazing thing you're doing here." And I was like, so blessed. He goes, "You must have an amazing, great, awesome team of multitudes." And I stood back and said to myself, we really only had about 12 of us. You know how that is. Just 12 of us to put this unbelievable thing together. That's all God needs. That's all he needs. He needs a few people with the fire of God to do something crazy for the kingdom. Amen? And that's what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Solomon wrote a profound truth of the power of teamwork. Listen to what he said. Ecclesiastes 4:9. You know this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Listen to verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand. Watch this. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. So let me just end it like this. I've talked too much about this, but let me bring it home. Someone say, bring it home. Don't worry, it's not snowing till later, right? Snowing till later? All right, maybe. Don't rain on my grandchildren's parade, brother. They're waiting for snow. They got the shovels. They got everything. We have to make some fake snow later. Anyway, here it is. The third passage of truth. I'll end it with this. Listen to this. This is very important. And I'm going to pray for you after this because this is important. Is this message speaking to you? Is it waking something up? Because that's what it's all about. It really is. I have a message. Maybe I'll share it in a couple of weeks. It's called Miracles in Your Mission. Don't miss this. The Holy Spirit just to remind me. When you are, of course, we're focusing. Don't miss this because we're going to have a volunteer meeting. I forgot to announce that it was up there. We'll have a volunteer meeting. We're going to develop the ministries, the children's ministries, the youth ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministry. We're having the Valentines. We'll get together to know each other. You know, just do some awesome things, and we're all excited about that. And I say that because, and then we're going to have outreaches and all that. We want you to be a part of it. And as you're used together, and we'll have evangelism little meetings and conferences, really help tune you up and really focus you. And I say all that say because this message called Miracles in Your Mission, because when you serve God and when you really embrace God's church, God's kingdom, God brings it home and blesses your household. When I say that, there's one key crazy, crazy woman in the Bible that I'm always reminded of. When God blessed their household. Anybody remember? You know it is. Rahab. Because Rahab stepped out and served God. God prepared Rahab. God blessed her whole household. Her whole family was saved. Because what you do for the kingdom, and we're excited that you're going to be a part of what God's doing in this church and this mission, but that doesn't stick here, and you leave this parking lot and it's over. What you learn here and develop here is going to continue progressively in your business, in your marketplace, in your family place, and in your job. It's going to just move powerfully. And I'm excited. If you've been serving the Lord 50 years, God's going to do a fresh new thing. Amen. Let me just bring this home to you. The power of God's timing is so important because Habakkuk speaks of it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. Hold on for 1 minute, Frank. Hold on for 1 minute. Listen. It says appointed time. Say that with me, appointed time. And so don't miss this, the power of God's timing. Because the appointed time, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass. Now don't miss this. At the end it will speak. Now let me share with you the law of biblical timing. Number one, it is our responsibility to recognize God's timing and not to change it. Did you get that? There's a time for everything. You know that, Ecclesiastes. Now, number two, it is our responsibility to accept and surrender to God's timing and not to resist it. Let me give you another look. Our submission to God's timing transforms human vision into God's divine reality. Woo! I like that one. Let me say it again. Our submission to God's timing transforms human vision into God's divine reality. If the vision is from God, then it must be according to God's way, God's will, and God's time. And finally, God's timing, I love this. Listen, God's timing sharpens the vision and the visionary. Woo! That's good stuff. It is. It is. How many believe that God's time is perfect? We all do. We all do. We all do. Amen? Do you believe that God still leads his people? Yes, we do. How many of us believe that God goes before the journey and before the journey of our mission in life? We believe that. I believe that. Excuse me. Do you believe that God knows what you need before you need it? Yes, you do. Now watch this. Here's the scriptures for timing. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun. You know that. You love Ecclesiastes 3:11. I love it. God makes all things beautiful in his time. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:17. There is a time for every purpose and for every work. Psalms 31:15. My times are in thy hands. Acts 17:24. He gives life to all and has determined the times before the appointed time. He is not far from every one of us, for in him we live, move, and have our being. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son. Habakkuk 2:1-3. Wait for it. So we have a position and we have a perfect time. Now, remember what I said, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time, amen? And so oftentimes we may miss it because we're not waiting on God's time. And this, listen to this, if God's timing sharpens the vision and the visionary, then that's what we want. We want God to sharpen it before we step out with a dull axe. Now, Ecclesiastes says this, if the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. In other words, God, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk in. So when you wait on God, God is doing a mighty work in your life. Amen? Stand with me now. Come on, let's give God a big clap offering. Come on. God's raising up ambassadors with a fire and a message for the kingdom of God. Amen? Now here's really what I prayed about, because all of us, God is doing something special. Deep down in our hearts, preparing us for something special. Amen? Remember Isaiah, the word that our brother gave us, and he said that, you know, don't consider the former things of old. Behold, I want to do something new. And he said, I want to do what? Remember? He said, roads in the wilderness and springs in the desert. We had this huge poster back in the day in our outreach. and it had this, had that scripture, and it had this beautiful stream, you know? And oftentimes when streams don't flow right, there's often a dam. There's something that, that hinders the tributaries and so forth. And often that's us. It's often us. And the timing of what God wants to do is so valuable. So listen, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Listen, this is what we focused on today. This is what we focused on today. You see, God has your divine answer to your divine prayer. He does. He's got it. And what you've been praying about, agonizing about, and holding it. Remember Ecclesiastes. Hold on to the drums, please. Hold on to the drums. Remember what God says in Ecclesiastes. He makes all things beautiful in His time. It's real. It's real, folks. It's real. And God has that for all of us. And God wants to do something special in our lives. Now, remember the title of the message that I shared today. Remember the new year, new heart, new vision. Amen. And what are the takeaways? The power of a made up mind, the power of teamwork, and the power of God's timing. And I want to pray for you here. God has a divine ministry and a divine miracle purpose that He is waking up and shaking up. Amen. And it's His time. How many of you say, Pastor, you speaking to me? Come on. Amen. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for you. If that's you, you want to come up. You have any prayer you need, come on up. But if you really say, you know what, there's something special, God's preparing me for something, step up. We want to pray. We want to pray for an alignment this morning. God has a special, special alignment in your time. Come on up as we worship. Go ahead. You could sing something very special. Come on. We're going to have a time of prayer and say, God, bless the vision you've given me. Bless the vision you've given me. Maybe you're here today and you know that you want to align yourself because there's something God wants to do. Two things in your family and in your job, your career. Come on up. We want to pray for all of you before you leave here today that God will touch you in a powerful way. Go ahead, worship the Lord. Hallelujah. How are you guys doing? Where's the baby? Oh, Miriam wants to talk to you. So Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus for this wonderful couple. God bless them, I pray in Jesus' name. Your anointing on their lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Fill them with your love and your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You're doing something special. Today, God, we pray for this vision you have for their lives. Very special. Very timely. I pray for a touch from this young woman of God. Lord, you untangle all the things that are wrapped up that bring anxiety and bring peace into her mind, into her mom. It's a new day, we pray, in Jesus' name. It's a fresh new day. Lord, we pray, God, we thank you, God, for Lord, what you're doing in our lives. Oh, God, thank you that you're raising up a warrior for the kingdom of God, and you have blessed the mind and strengthened the threshold. And I pray, Lord, that there be an absorption on every piece of this academy, Lord, and God, there'd be a loving light that would glow through him, that people recognize something special flowing out of his Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessings, Lord. Your anointing in the name of Jesus. Your touch from heaven. God, you know it. You know what she carries. You know the burden, Lord. I lift her up and I pray. And God, pray for a double portion. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for this family. Thank you for these, your precious young people. In Jesus' name, your special anointing on their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, there's something new and exciting they're about to step into. Help them to step into the jet stream of your calling, of their destiny in Jesus' name. Thank you for my brother and sister. And God, whatever they're carrying, you know you got this. Lord, give us wisdom, though. I pray, Lord, for their personal needs. You know each one, their body, mind, spirit, soul, career, family, atmosphere, and also, God, Lord, what they're going to present. I know, and I pray, God, you'll direct this. You'll direct it. You'll break the stronghold. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful family. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, God, fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing on my brother. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, touch this man of God in Jesus' name. Something special. Lord, thank you for my brother. And God, you're doing something. Lord, there's going to be just a rhema, a shine of glory flowing through this man's countenance. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes! Blessings. Come on, let's give God a big clap offering. Love you. Don't forget about the Valentine's dinner. And we're going to have a meeting with the cafe leadership. Miriam will be meeting you inside. We love you. We bless you. Keep us in prayer. Step out. Get ready. You got a mantle and God's going to do something powerful. Amen. Love you in the Lord. So I saw how you did it today. That's it.